Okay, so we'll
go. I heard you.
Okay. All right, so we're holding on Moon Volcom Bay's second line from the bottom. Continuing on the topic of person sees various things in his dream, what they signify. Gemara says, Haroya Pinchas Bachalayim. If a person sees Pinchas in a dream, it means Pela Nasaloy, it means that a Pela, a wondrous thing, is going to be done for him. Rashi explains, because we find that Pinchas, the original Pinchas, because the original Pinchas had a Pela happen to him, and in fact actually had many Nisim, the Gemara describes over there happened to him. Because either he sees a person has on him the name Pinchas or something, or he sees the word Pinchas written out. We're going to have examples soon where the Gemara mentions names that a person sees where he sees them in writing. So here it could mean he sees the name Pinchas in writing, or it could he sees a person and he recognizes that that's Pinchas. Anyway, it's a Pela Nasaloy, so that means a wonder is going to be done for him. If a person sees an elephant in a dream, and the pil is related to the word pela, so it means that wonders will be done for him in the forest. Pilim, and if he sees elephants, more than one elephant, means that wonders of wonders will be done for him.
Is a
pil is an elephant. A pil.
No, I know, but...
Yes, a pil plois means wonders of wonders. Now, there was a sicha in Chelek Lamed Gimel for Parshas Pinchas, appropriately enough, where the Rebbe discusses this Gemara. So what's the idea? Why is it that Pinchas is specifically associated with Pella? And why is it that with him it's only one Pella, whereas with elephants it's more than one, etc.? The gist of the explanation is that Rebbe explains that you have the two words for something miraculous. There's the word Nes, which we're going to have soon in the Gemara, and there's the word Pella. And then as I explained, in terms of our Gemara here at least, a Pella is something beyond a Nes. A Nes is something where you can have, it's within Teva. You have within nature, and then you have something beyond nature that happens, something within the natural order that happens, which is an amazing thing and helps and whatever. As opposed to Pella, it's something completely beyond the natural order. As we find, some of the things that it says over there about Pinchas, some of the things that it says about that happened to him, the sick Nisim that happened when he killed Zimri and Cosby, some of them are completely outside the bounds of nature. For example, at the door of the tent got higher, so he was able to go out, and none of the blood dripped on him, etc. So those are things. So therefore, and the Rebbe develops the idea there that you also have two different ways of people going on the Siddur Nefesh. You have somebody who does the Avoda normally according to Tamba Das, according to logic and rationality, and when Siddur Nefesh is needed, okay, then they rise to the occasion and do Siddur Nefesh. And then you have a person who, to begin with, does the Avoda completely beyond Tamba Das. He has no will and no agenda of his own, just what Hashem wants. That was what Pinchas did over there when he went to kill Zimri and Cosby. Is it going to be safe? Is it whatever? He goes completely beyond the natural order, and therefore Hashem rewarded him by giving him nisim beyond the natural order, and that's the kind of thing. We say over here that a person has a pella means that the whole mitzvah of how things are going to be for him when he sees Pinchas in a dream is going to be completely a pelagic thing, as opposed to when he sees an elephant or elephants, it means fine, there's going to be individual cloyim here and there. There's going to be wonders or wonders of wonders or whatever, but it's individual things rather than as one all encompassing overarching thing.
And that's sort of the thinking, what's
Kriyat Shem Suf then? Well, about Kriyat Shem Suf, that's something so then we've got... Okay, so then sometimes they're referred to as a Pella. Yeah, so maybe they're also a Pella. All right, so the question is, again, so we're saying if a person sees elephants in a dream, that's a positive thing. So the question is, Valtanya, we learn in a Braisa, kol minei chayes yofen machalayim, any kind of animal that a person sees in a dream is good for him. Chutz yofen machalayim is good for a dream. Chutz minei pilum minei kois. Except for an elephant or a monkey. So you see that elephants are not a good thing. The answer is, loikasha, hodmesarag, hodmesarag. The difference is the creature in his dream does it have a saddle on it? If it has a saddle on it, then it's a good sign. If it does, mesarag is a saddle. On Omer days, where it also mentions mesarag, Rashi gives over there a different explanation that mesarag means that it has a halter on it, like a bridle, a thing that you put in its mouth to control where it goes. Over here, Rashi just explains it means that it has a saddle. So if it has a saddle, then it's good. If it doesn't have a saddle, then it's not so good. Okay. Next, Haroya Huna Bachalayim. If a person sees the Huna in a dream, and again, we don't mean that, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute. It's the name of a person, like Rav Huna. But we don't mean that he sees a person named Huna necessarily. What we mean is, in particular, Marsha explains, it means he sees it in writing. He sees the name Huna written out. So then, Nes Nasaloy means that a Nes will happen to him. Because the Nun of Huna is related to the word Nes. So that's actually, it's not just Marshal. Rashi says, Kugun Shiro Hashem Kosu. He sees the name written out. So then the Nun that's in the word Huna represents the word Nes. Now, they ask the question in that case, aren't there other names that have a nun in them? What about Noach? What about Aaron? Or whatever? Fine. But the one answer is the word Huna itself is also related to the word Chen. We find the next one the Gemara is going to mention is various other names that are related to the word Chen. The word Huna is related to the word Chen, and in fact, in the Yerushalmi, in fact, we have Rav Huna, the Amora, many times in the Yerushalmi is called Rav Huna with a Ches. But we often find the Chachamim anyway, Darshan, Hey and Ches interchangeably because they're very similar in sound, at least by Sfardim. So therefore, when you see the name Huna, so not only it represents Nes, but also the name Huna itself is Meloshin Chen, so it shows that he has special grace from Hashem. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out another point also. The word Huna is the Rosh Tevis of the words in Ashrei. Hoidecha v'divrei nifla'isecha osicha. So therefore, it shows a special thing. It shows a special thing from Hashem. That's the v'divrei nifla'isecha. That's the words of Hashem's miracles, of Hashem's wonders, as we just said. So therefore, he's going to have a nes happen to him. Hoidecha v'divrei nifla'isecha osicha. Chanina, Chananya, Yochanan. If he sees any of these names written in a dream, Chanina or Chananya or Yochanan, each of which has two nunim in it, and each one is also Meloshin Chen, then it means Nisei Nisei Nafalai. It means wonders of. It means miracles of miracles will be done for him. Another one, Haraya Hesped B'Chalayim. If a person sees a Hesped in a dream, a eulogy that they do by a funeral, it means Minashamayim Chosu Olav Da'uhu. It means that Minashamayim, they had Rachmanus on him and they redeemed him. The word Hesped, again, we douse in the hay like it was a Ches. So we break down the word Hesped to Chos Pod. Chos Meloshin Chas, they had Rachmanus, the base in Shamayla, and Pod, Meloshin Podra, that they redeemed him. The Gemara says, Hani Milu B'Chsav. Now that's only if he sees the word Hesped written out. If he sees an actual Hesped in a dream, then that's not necessarily a sin for that. It may even be a negative sin because it's something sad that he sees. Okay. So, next, if a person in his dream is saying Yeheshmer Abba Mubarak, Mukta Chalosh Ben Olam Haba, then he can be guaranteed that he's a person who has a place in an Olam Haba. In Olam Haba.
He's a killer and he says,
what?
I'm in Yeheshmer.
No. Ben Olam Haba, first of all, if that's the case, then Hashem wouldn't give him such a dream in the first place. But second of all, Ben Olam Haba doesn't mean automatically he has an automatic entry ticket into Gan Eden. It means he's a person who's eligible, yeah, but he's like closer to it, but he still has to follow it with Meisim. Yeah, obviously he can lose it with Meisim. But okay, if somebody sees in a dream that he's saying Krishma, Roy Shatisha Olav Shchina, it means he's worthy that the Shchina should rest on him. But his generation is not worthy of it to have such a person among them, and therefore, but he's shown that in a dream to show that he's on that level. He's shown that he's going for the Shekhinah to rest on him, that he should have Ruach HaKodesh. Hamaniach tefillin b'chalayim, a person puts on tefillin in a dream, yitzap elegdula, then he can look forward to that Hashem is going to give him greatness. Shenema, because it says in the pasuk that we learned in the first parak, v'ro kol ami ha'oret kishem Hashem nikra alach v'goyim, when all the nations of the world see that the name of Hashem is called on you, then they will fear you. The Tanya of Eliezer Godolim, and we said there on Dach Vav, that Rabbi Eliezer Godolim says, elu tefillin shemarosh. This refers to the tefillin on the head. So when the person sees in the dream that he's wearing tefillin, it shows that Hashem is going to make, that he's going to be great and people are going to fear him.
So actually, he was saying that if he sees a pill, he's got close that are coming to him, it's greater than if he's himself wearing
tefillin. No, what does one have to do with the other? One is where he's...
What
does one have to do with the other? One is... No, it doesn't. One is that he said that the Pilei Ploys Nafdolai, there's going to be wonders of wonders. Here we're saying that he's going to have Gdula. It can be Gdula within Derech HaTeva, but sometimes things that are within Derech HaTeva are greater than ones beyond it. Whatever, they're different things. Next, Hamispalal B'chalayim, if a person davens in a dream, Simen Yochaloi, then it's a good simen for him, but Vahani Mili Diloi Siyim, but that's only if he didn't finish the davening in his dream. In other words, if he woke up before he actually stepped back from Shemoneh Esrei, so then Rashi shows it demonstrates that he's close to Hashem, because that's when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, you're standing in front of Hashem, so if he sees that in a dream, it shows that he's close to Hashem. Next. Habo al imoy b'chaloyim, a very unusual thing, you would say. If a person has a dream or he has relations with his mother, yitzapel bina. It means he can look forward to he's going to have bina. Shenema, ki im la bina tikra, as the pasuk says, if you call to bina, and the point is the Gemara is dashing the word im over there as if it was aim, the mother. So we see that there's a connection between the mother and bina. In many places, in Chassidus, of course, it talks about it, expands on that, al pi Kabbalah. Now, with this and the next couple of ones, the that Ben Ish-Chai has in his Shuvah called Rav Pa'olim. He has he talks about this. He says, now we're not talking about if the person had a dream where, you know, he wakes up with a kishur and wakes up, having had keri in the middle of the night as a result of the dream. I mean, you can't have that because of something negative like that. Should be, you know, he's going to have, you know, the other great things we're going to say. So we're talking about, he says, that he had a dream where he was Baal Imoy, but not in the usual way, not with an erection, not with a shifa zera involved. Just he saw in a dream himself with his mother together, let's say. So then that's the kind of thing we're talking about. And obviously, also we're not talking about, you know, we're obviously not talking about a person who has hirurim about her all the time. A not normal person who has hirurim about his mother. When I was like, Gemara is going to say soon, this is all if he didn't have hirurim about her previously. But other than that, okay. Next, Habal Naira Moros. So if a person in a dream has relations with a Naira Moros, Yitzapa L'Torah, then it means he can look forward to that he's going to accomplish, that he's going to gain Torah. Shinema, Torah Tivalonu Moshe Moroshah Tilat Yaakov, Al Tikri Moroshah, don't read that it's a Moroshah, it's an inheritance, Elo Moroshah, but rather the Torah is like our betrothed power. So therefore, when he has relations with a betrothed woman, with a Naira Moroshah in a dream, then it represents Torah. Habal Achoyse Bachalim, in a dream, if he has relations with a sister, Yitzapa L'Chochma, that he can look forward to, that he's going to achieve Chochma. Shenema, Emra L'Chochma, Achoyse Yata, the prophet says, say to Chochma, you are my sister. Habal Ish Bachalim, if he has relations with a married woman in a dream, Muftachloshu Ben Olam Abba, then he can be guaranteed again that he's a Ben Olam Abba, meaning Rashi says, so therefore, now we know the concept, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, the Gemara mentions in Chagiga, that you have each person has their place in Gan Eden, but a Rosha can forfeit his. A Tzaddik then gets his own portion as well as the portion that should have gone to that Rosha, and instead the Tzaddik gets it. So that's similar to, like, so to speak, like somebody else's wife. This was, it pertained to the other person, and now you get it. So therefore, if a person has such a dream, then it means that he's a Ben Olam Haba, that he gets somebody else's Chelek Olam Haba as well as his own. The Hani Mila, Jula Yadala, but that's only if he doesn't previously know her, but I hear her Bami Urta, and he didn't previously have thoughts about her earlier in the day or earlier in the night, because then obviously it's more like the pashtus that applies. Well, I mean, the mother he knows from much before, but pashtus at least the part that he wasn't having hirurim about her applies before. Yeah. By the way, it's worth pointing out, by the way, that in places in Chassidus, for example, in Derech Mitzvaysecha from the Tzemach Tzedek, there's a couple of short maimorim where he explains over there Afi Kabbalah. That all the, actually, the Ramban already mentioned such a concept in his Pirush on the Torah, but all the arayas that I mentioned in the Torah, the Pnimi Seinyonim, they represent very high things. The Pnimi Seinyonim, they represent, for example, a mother and a son together has to do with very high levels of Chochma and Bina that are evoked even when we put on Tefillin or whatever. So in Olam Atzilus, the Tzemach Tzedek explains over there in his Maimonim, in Atzilus, all these things represent very high levels of connection between spirits and whatever. The problem is when we come down here to earth, they end up, you can't make such a yichudim down in a world full of clippers as the lower worlds are. Therefore, on the contrary, there's serious averas, and they involve kores, they involve the neshama getting cut off. But over here, the Gemara is mentioning when a person has this dream, and again, it's not based on he was thinking about it during the day, then it shows, in other words, that he is, in a certain sense, he's achieving, he's reaching to those higher levels of what those things really represent in their shodash and other in activities. Okay. Onward. Omer of Chiyabada. Haroyah chitim bachalayim. If a person sees wheat in a dream, ra shalom, then it's a simon that he sees peace. He makes you borders at peace. He satisfies you with the cream of wheat. So we see that wheat is associated with shalom. Person sees barley in a dream.
One second.
What do you mean, one second? What's the problem? He sees wheat in a dream and he sees shalom.
Can I ask you?
Yeah, no.
No, so okay. This is the question. Yosef saw the chitim in his dream and it didn't mean shalom at all.
And many years later, right then and there, it meant that his brothers sold him. But eventually, it caused shalom to the whole world because he saw shalom, that eventually there was shalom. It doesn't mean that these things come true right away. Haroyah sa'odim b'chalayim, person sees barley in a dream. Soru avinosam, the simon that his averas have been removed. Because the word sa'odim is similar to the word sar avin. Remember, the sar avin, as the passage says, your oven has been removed, the chatos chatechuper, and your chata and your chet has been forgiven. Amr Abzera. So Abzera says in that connection, I'm no longer talking about the Eretz Yisrael. an eye did not move from Bavel, Teretz Yisrael, ad b'chazori, sari b'chelma, until I saw barley in my dream. Because that I knew is a simen, as we just said, that the averus have been forgiven, and therefore now I'm on a level that I'm appropriate, that's appropriate for me to live in Eretz Yisrael.
So it was
the samach and sin are often interchangeable, because they sound the same. Next, Haroya Geffen Te'una B'chala, and a person sees in a dream a vine laden with carrying lots of grapes. It means Ein Ishta Mapelas Nefalim. It's a simon that his wife won't miscarry. Shenema, as a positive said, kill him. Eshta Chaku Geffen Periya. Your wife is like a fruitful vine. Sereka Eshecha is your wife. Geffen Periya is like a fruitful vine.
Why not Ishta?
Because that's the Eshecha with an out with a cycle. Sereka, on the other hand, if he sees not a regular grapevine, but a sereka, which is either, some of the portion say it means a long vine, some say it means a very high quality vine, whatever it is, Yitzchak or Mashiach, that he can look forward to Mashiach. Shenema, you have in Yaakov, bracha to Yehuda, Oisri la Geffen Iroi, he ties his young junkie to a vine, Vala Sereka, and to a Sereka, Bni, my son, Asoina, he ties his female donkey, but also Rashi, and the Unkelos and Rashi, on the Pasuk explain over there that Bni Asoina also refers to building the Beit HaMikdash. So we see that Sereka is connected with Mashiach and with building the Beit HaMikdash.
If he sees a grapevine that he intends to, is it
the same? I don't know what I'm saying. Here he's just seeing the grapevine by itself. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out another point also. The word sereka is also related to the word shorak, which means to whistle, and we find a pasuk in Zechariah that associates whistling, like Hashem says, so to speak. When it's time for Kibbutz Goliath, I'll whistle, and the Jewish people will come from all over. So therefore, that's another connection between the sereka and Mashiach. Next, haroya ke'ena b'chalayim, a person sees a fig or fig tree in a dream, Torah the Mishnameres Kirba is a simon that he will remember and retain what he learned in Torah. Shenema, notes of Te'enu, Yechal Piri, as the passage says, the one who tends the fig tree will be able to eat its fruit. And that's a metaphor for Talmud Chacham, who works hard on learning Torah, that he'll eat it and he'll be able to remember it.
One of grace.
Wait, so something else we said that there, we said that. Okay, it said something else because each one has its own meaning. In particular, figs, the Torah is compared to a fig tree because fig trees produce fruit at different times. Each time you come to the tree, you find other fruit that's ripened, and that's like a Talmud Chacham every time you learn something new in Torah. Next, Haroya Rimonim Bachalayim, a person sees pomegranate in a tree, in a dream. Zutri, if it's small pomegranate, then it means pori iske kirimona. It means that his business will be fruitful like a pomegranate that's full of seeds. Ravravi, and if they're large pomegranates, rabi iske kirimona. Then it means that his business will grow again like a pomegranate has a lot of seeds. So be fruitful versus grow. Kalvi, if he sees cut up pomegranate, half pomegranate, then it depends. Im tamad chacham, that was before we said if he saw a whole one, if he sees ones that are cut up, so it depends. Im tamad chacham hu yitzak la Torah. If he is a tamad chacham, it means that he can look forward to achieving more in Torah. Shenema ashtacham yayin harekach me'achis rimoni. As the passage says, I will give you to drink from my spiced wine, from the juice of my pomegranate. We're talking about that we're saying to Hashem metaphorically that we're going to, that Hashem is going to be able to enjoy, so to speak, the Torah that we learn. So therefore, it's compared to pomegranate juice. The imam ha'aretz, so he's top of the mitzvah. If he's an imam ha'aretz, so he's not shy so much to learning Torah, then he should look forward to he's going to be able to achieve a lot in mitzvahs. Shenema kekelach harim and rakosech, as we find earlier in Shir Hashirim, that Hashem metaphorically says to the Jewish people, your temples of your head, in other words, are like a slice of pomegranate. And my rakosech, what does rakosech mean? It means that through the kon and shabach, even the empty people among the Jews, Malay mitzvahs karim and are actually as full of mitzvahs as a pomegranate is full of seeds. So therefore, it means that that's a simon for him that'll achieve a lot of mitzvahs, that'll accomplish a lot of mitzvahs. Next, haroya zeitin b'chaloyin. If a person sees olives in a dream, zutri. So if they're small, if he sees small ones, pori v'rove v'koy iske kezeitin. That means that his business will be fruitful and multiply and stand firm like olives. Now, the Gemara has, now, unlike before, where we said the pomegranates, here the Gemara did not mention what about if he sees large ones. So actually, in Dikduke Sofrim, which has different girsois from Kifayad, and also in other Mephoshim, they say that actually it's similar to before. So what we're saying is that if it's small ones, then it means that his business will be fruitful, and if it's large ones, it means that it'll grow. Vahani Milik Pri, now that's talking about if he sees the fruit olives, Avo Iloni, but if he sees olive trees in his dream, then Havim Le Bonim Merubim, that's a different simon, not a simon about that his business will go good, but that he'll have a lot of children. As the pasuk says, your children are like olive plants so around your table. Ikadami, another version goes, another version is that if a person sees an olive or an olive tree in a dream, then it means that he's going to have a good name and that his good name is going to spread around for him. As the pasuk says, a fresh olive tree, a beautiful fruit, Hashem has called your name, so we see that olives are associated with a good name. Okay. If a person sees olive oil in a dream, or Torah, then he can look forward to that he's going to have the brilliance of Torah. As we find this coming week's parasha, that Hashem tells Moshe they should bring you all clear olive oil for the menorah. So therefore, it represents that he's going to have the illumination of Torah. The person can learn Torah without an illumination in it, where, you know, they learn Torah, but they forget about the notion of Torah in particular. So here, and it talks about in many places, in Chassidus, in a lot of places, it talks about the idea that oil in particular represents Pnimiyas HaTorah, so that may be what the Gemara means over here, that before we were talking about he's going to achieve Torah, but he's going to achieve Torah in a way that connects him with Hashem, maybe not. But over here, we're saying he's going to achieve the aspect of it that connects him with Hashem, the aspect that's given to us by Chassidus.
Amen.
Right.
They say whatever a person thinks of during the night is going to dream up a light at night. If he thinks about these things in the day or the report.
Maybe, but I mean, here we're talking about primarily the kind of dreams that we were talking about before that come, as Maharsha said earlier in the Sugya. Maharsha explained that there are dreams that come earlier in the night, which tend to be just based on what a person thought during the day, so they don't really mean much. Then you have dreams later on during the night where they tend to be more significant. Yeah. Okay. Next. Haroya tmorim b'chalayim, if a person sees dates in a dream, tamu avar noisav, then it's a simon that is averus are finished off, or gone. Shenema tam avarnech basia, and as we find a passage that says that associates averus going away with ending, you averus have ended daughter of Tia, and it's in passage in Eichel. Marsha points out, especially the word tamar, is short for tamu morim, which means the rebellious ones have been ended. Dates. If a person sees a goat in a dream, it shows shonam is bereches loy. It means that year is going to be a blessed year for him. Izim, and if he sees goats in the plural, shonim is bereches loy, then it means the years in plural will be blessed for him. Shenema, where do we see that goats are associated with bracha? Shenema, the day chalev izim lachmcha, as the pasuk says, there'll be enough goat's milk for your food. So we see that there's an association between goats and a good year, and panos. Haroya hadas b'chaloyim, if a person sees a hadas in a dream, nechosav matzlichim lo, then it shows that his nechosim, his property, will be successful for him. The im ein lo nechosim, if he doesn't have, nechosim usually means real estate, so if he doesn't own any real estate, then it would be a simon yerusha, and I tell us, okay, right now he doesn't have real estate, but he's going to inherit some from someplace else. The reason why Rashi says is because what do hadassim have to do with nechassim? Because like hadassim they have three leaves on every, they have three leaves at every level, so like the whole branch is thickly covered with leaves, so therefore it shows like success in parnassus. It represents success in parnassus. Bahani mili, however, the Gemara says that is only not bahani mili. Sorry. Ula says in a brisa, now that's only if he saw the hadassim actually growing on the bush, but if he just saw loose hadassim, then it's not a simon of anything in particular. Next.
So you have to see them
growing. Haroya esrig b'chaloyim, if a person sees an esrig in a dream, it means hodu hu lifnei kono, he should know that it's a simon that he's beautiful and he's beautiful in front of Hashem, and Hashem considers him beautiful and in good shape. Shenema priei todah, as we see there, the esrig is called the fruit of the beautiful tree. Priei todah kapos tzmarim. Haroya lulav b'chaloyim, if a person sees a lulav in a dream, it shows that ein loy ela leiv echav b'avav shevashmayim. It shows that like the lulav itself, he has only one heart towards Hashem. In other words, like most trees have branches at various levels. A palm tree has them all at the top. A palm tree also, when you cut it open, it doesn't have rings like most trees do. It's one solid block of wood. So therefore, the Gemara mentions in other places that a palm tree and a lulav in particular represents like single-minded devotion to Hashem. So that's a simon that the person has reached that level. Haroya avoz b'chaloyim. Next, if a person sees a goose in a dream, Right? A person sees a goose in a dream, yisapa l'chokhma, then it means that he can look forward to achieving chokhma. Shenema chokhma is bachutz torona. As the Pasuk says, in Mishlei, chokhma cries out in the streets. Now, a goose is a very loud bird. It's always honking. That means, like, so to speak, like chokhma calls out in the street, come get chokhma. Like the Torah is calling out to people, come learn me and achieve chokhma. So therefore, so we said, we learn, the Gemara also mentions about in other places that it needs to talk about, it's talking about teaching Torah publicly, etc. The point is that therefore, so the comparison is to a goose, which is always honking and making a loud noise, so therefore it represents that. And if a person in dream has relations with the goose, have a Rosh Hashiva, then it represents that he's going to be a Rosh Hashiva, because then it means, again, just like we said before about the mother and the sister, etc., that having relations with them in a dream represents that he's coming close as possible to what that represents, Beruchnius. So the same thing over here, it shows that he's coming close there, which means that he's going to become a Rosh Hashiva and spread out his Chochmah and spread out his Torah very widely. And in fact, Omer Ravashi, Ani Reisiha. In fact, Ravashi says, one time I had that. I saw a goose in a dream, or Bosi Aleha, and I had relations with it in the dream. The Salkus Lagdula, and sure enough, I achieved greatness because he became the great Rosh Hashiva of Sura. Okay. Next, Haroyah Taunigo Bachaloyim. If a person sees a rooster in a dream, Yitzapel Ben Zocho, then he can look forward to that he's going to have a boy. Like we have by Kaparis, where a male rooster is called Geber, which also means a man. So it represents that he's going to have a man child, a boy. Kind of goylim, and if he sees roosters in the plural, Yitzchak Abanim Konim. We can look forward to that he's going to have sons in the plural. Kind of goyles, if he sees a hen, then Yitzchak Latabitza Noe Vigila. Then he can look forward to that he's going to have a nice and well-watered Tarbitza. Because in other words, the word Tarnagoyla stands for Tarbitza Noe Vigila. But what is Tarbitza? Rashi says two explanations. One is that Tarbitza means literally a garden. A second explanation is it means a Beth Medrash. So he's going to have either a well-tended garden or he's going to have a well-tended Beth Medrash. Okay. If a person sees eggs in a dream, it means Tloya Bakashosa. It means that whatever he's asking Hashem for is suspended. It's just like eggs are sealed shut. You don't know what's inside them at this point. So therefore, like so to speak, the metaphor for it is that he has asked Hashem for something, but we don't know yet whether Hashem is going to answer it or not. Marshall points out the reason why eggs specifically is because the Aramaic word for egg is bea. In fact, in the Sefer, sometimes it's called bea by people. And the word bea is similar to the word boi in Aramaic, which means to ask for something. So therefore, in particular, eggs have to do with that he made a request of Hashem. So it's but it's still in suspense whether it's going to happen. Nishtablu, if in the dream he sees that the eggs are broken, not the bakashos, and then it shows that what he wanted has been accomplished. But now, if the egg has been broken open, now you can see the food that's inside, so the same thing. V'chein egoizim, the same thing applies to nuts. V'chein kishuim, the same thing applies to cucumbers. V'chein kol klos chuchis, the same thing applies to any glass vessels. V'chein kol nishbarim ka'elu, the same thing, anything else that breaks is the same kind of thing, that once it's broken, then it shows that either it means that once it's broken, it shows that what he wanted, that what he was asking Hashem for is going to be accomplished. Or, according to Marsha, it doesn't necessarily mean that, only by eggs, by the other things. It means whatever those things in and of themselves represent in the dream, which the Gemara didn't say over here, what nuts or glass vessels or whatever represent, but whatever they represent, if they're broken in the dream, it shows that whatever they represent has been canceled. Okay. Next. Anichnas lekrach, if a person goes into, or maybe it means just the opposite, that it is going to be fulfilled, just like we said with the eggs. Okay. Anichnas lekrach, if a person in a dream sees that he's going into a city, it means nasu lechafatav, then it means the sign from Hashem that what he wanted is going to get accomplished. Shenema vayanchem amachos cheftam, as we find in the pasuk, that Hashem brought them to the destination where they wanted to go. So like here, he reached the city, which is his destination. Hamagaloyach roshe v'chaloyim, if a person in a dream shaves his head, Simon Yosalo, then it says good Simon for him, just like we find by Yosef, that he shaved and then he went to Sikare and then he was appointed prime minister. Well, that was in particular on Rosh Hashanah. It could be, the truth is, I mean, the Mefoshim don't say, but it could be that a lot of these things that Gemara is mentioning in the dream maybe are in particular if the dream is on Rosh Hashanah, because then that affects the whole year. Maybe it doesn't apply to the same extent of whatever it's doing the rest of the year, I don't know. And the truth is that various Sfarim talk about nowadays, a lot of this doesn't apply anyway. I mean, we're not on the kind of level that we necessarily receive messages from Hashem in dreams, and it's more likely to be just based on what we thought about during the day rather than any true message. All right.
said, should be applied to any generation.
What? What say what?
Why if it's not applicable today?
We still learn it as part of the Gemara because it's still we need to
learn it.
Yeah.
And you should learn it.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that it applies. It's just like the health advice in the Gemara doesn't apply on a gashmiastical level nowadays. But it's still important to know the ideas behind it. A person can receive messages from Hashem, but they have to be on a certain level. Where? Okay, onward. If in the dream he shaves his head and his beard, loyal, and then it shows the good simon, not just for him, but for his whole family. Next, if a person in a dream sees that he's sitting in a little boat, it means shame tov, yosaloi. It means that there's going to be a good name spread around for him. If he's sitting in a larger boat, simon yot, loyal, and then again it means the good simon for him and his whole family, because like a larger boat can hold more people. Now that only applies with the small boat or the large boat, only if it's going on top of the waves in this dream. But if you just see that it's going on a placid river or whatever, then it doesn't show anything in particular. If a person in his dream goes to the bathroom, simon yofalo, then it's a good simon for him. As the passage says, the soya, which soya means to pour out, Rashi explains on the passage, but the Gemara is also darshaning in here, Moloshin soya, which means waste, goes quickly out, so it's a good simon for him. Now it shows, Rashi explains, that like his filth and then his gnus and the bad things about him are going to go away from him, like the filth that leaves his body. But that only applies if he didn't see in the dream that he wiped. Because if he wiped in those days, they usually wiped with their bare hands, so they got dirty again. Next, if a person in his dream sees that he went up onto the roof, then it shows the simon that he's going to go, that he's going to rise to great heights. But if he sees in the dream that he went down off the roof, then it shows he's going to be deposed. He's going to go down from his grave. Abaya and Rava both say no. Ola, once in the dream he went up, then he went up. The fact that afterwards he saw himself going down doesn't mean anything. Next, if a person in a dream sees that he's ripping his clothing, then he should know it's a simon from Hashem. And Shemayim, they're ripping up the decree that was made against him. If a person in a dream sees that he's standing naked, so it depends. Did Bavel, if he's in Bavel, Omid Vloichet, then it means Bavel, in Bavel and Chutzlaret in general, you don't have as many mitzvahs as you can do there. In fact, Rashi points out that really, other things being equal, it's an Aveda to live there. Ideally, a person, a Yid should be living in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, when he sees that he's naked in Bavel in a dream, it shows that Omid Vloichet, it shows that he's without those Aveiras, which otherwise he would have being in Chutzlaret. Bavel meaning a Chutzlaret in general. Eretz Yisrael, and if he has such a dream in Eretz Yisrael, or in Bloy Mitzvot, then it's just the opposite. It means he's naked of Mitzvot, because Eretz Yisrael has so many more Mitzvot that apply to it, so therefore, like you say, standing there naked, he's a denuded of those Mitzvot. Next, Hanitbas L'Saudia, if a person sees in a dream that he was arrested by the police, Shmira Nasisloy, so it shows that the Simon Menashemayim, that Hashem is putting him under his protection. Just like, in other words, the police are guarding him so he doesn't run away, so therefore, so we see, in this case, it means that Hashem is guarding him from dangers. Nasnuhu b'koiler, if in the dream he sees that then they put him in a metal collar, like they used to do the prisoners in those days, then it shows that Hashem is giving him extra protection on top of the protection. So again, just like in when they put the collar on the person, it means they're putting extra guard on him, so to make it even more certain that he can't escape. So here, in the positive sense, it means that Hashem is protecting him even more. Now that only applies if they actually put a collar on him and a metal collar, not if they just put a rope on him, that's not a simon of anything particular. If a person in a dream goes into a meadow, not the Rosh Hashiva, and that shows it means that he's going to become a Rosh Hashiva. Because a meadow has many different plants of different sizes, all crowded together. You have taller plants, you have smaller plants. So therefore, Rosh Hashiva is like that. You have big people, greater people, lesser people, all gathered together in huge numbers to hear his drasha. So therefore, it's a simon that he's going to be a Rosh Hashiva. L'yar, but if he sees in a dream that he's going into a forest, where there is only big trees grow in the forest, and they're not so close together, they're further apart, then therefore, Nasa Rosh L'bnei Kala. Then it shows he's not going to be a Rosh Hashiva for everybody. It means he's going to be the head of the B'nai Kala. The B'nai Kala, Rashi explains, are the Talmidim who stay on behind after the Shir, and they go to review it. So therefore, so they're like the greater pomidium. So they're like the trees as compared to all the different plants of different sizes that are in the meadow. And the Gemara in fact tells Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bredi Yeshua Chazu Chelma. Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bredi Yeshua one night had dreams. Rav Papa the Ayla, but they had different dreams. Rav Papa the Ayla Agma Nasa Rosh Hashiva. Rav Papa, who in his dream saw that he went into a meadow. Sure enough, he became a Rosh Hashiva. After the Ayla, but he went in the Ayla Agma. He went into a meadow. Nasa Rosh Hashiva. He became a Rosh Hashiva. In fact, Rav Shira Bain mentioned that after Rava passed away, there were two different yeshivas. There was the yeshiva of Sura. There were actually a few different yeshivas in Sura and in Nahadah and whatever. And one of them, Rav Papa was the Rosh Hashiva there for 19 years. Rav Huna Bered Yerushua, the Ayel Yair, on the other hand, Rav Huna Bered Yerushua, who had a dream that he went into the forest, Nasa Rosh, Levnei Kala, so he became the Rosh, he became the head of the Bnei Kala. The head of the senior Talmud.
They told us the story they had a dream after the time they dream or after the...
No, in other words, sometime later this happened. Not always do these things happen right away. But the point is that we see that Rav Papa became the Rosh Hashiva and Rav Huna Bered Yeshua, even though he was a colleague of his and on the same level, he became a Rosh Kala. Ikadami Tavayla Agma Ali, a different version of the story goes that both of them actually in the dream saw that they went into the meadow. But the difference was, El Rav Papa the Tali Tavla. But Rav Papa, in the dream, didn't just go into the meadow. He had, in the dream, he saw that there was a bell hanging around his neck, which a bell, therefore, represents the Rosh Hashiva who has to raise his voice loud for everybody to hear him. So therefore, Nasa Rosh Hashiva, so he became a Rosh Hashiva. Rav Huna Bered Yerushua, the Loi Tali Tavla. In the second version, Rav Huna Bered Yerushua also saw that he went into a meadow, but he wasn't wearing a bell around his neck. Therefore, not the Rosh of the Bnei Kala, so therefore he only became the Rosh of the Bnei Kala, where since he's only dealing with a senior Talmidim, he doesn't need to raise his voice as much. Amar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi says in this connection, Ano Ailus La'agma, I in a dream went into a meadow, the Taloi Tavla, and in the dream I saw that there was a bell hanging around my neck, the Navchi Bo Nabuchi, and I made a loud noise with it, which meant, which all in the dream, which represented that he became a very great Rosh Hashiva, which he did. He was a Rosh Hashiva of Surah for almost 60 years. I read a story, by the way, in this connection where, nowadays we're saying dreams are less significant than they were in the old days, but still, you have people who are on different levels. So I read a little story involving the Chazon Ish, where one time his sister told him that she saw in a dream that he was riding in a wagon with a bell on it. This is before he'd become famous. So the Chazon Ish says, okay, if that's the case, if you saw such a dream about me, a bell, then based on the Gemara over here, okay, it means it's time that then I can't hide myself. I have to go, I have to make it more known who I am, which he did. He became the great Rosh Hashiva. Okay. Tani Tana Kameder of Nachum Yitzchak. A Tana taught a braita in front of Nachum Yitzchak that said, Hamakiz Dam B'Haloim, a person in a dream sees that he's letting blood. The blood represents Averis because it's red. In Yadimu Katola, as the Pasuk says, if your Averis are as red as scarlet. So when it's Makiz Dam, he's letting blood in a dream, it shows like the redness is being taken out of him. Avonos of Mechulamos, so it's a sign that his Averis are forgiven. So the question is, Valtanya, but we learn in another Braita, Avonos of Sdurimoy, that his Averis are arranged for him. Arranged, Lechora means that the Beis Din Shamayla is arranging his Averis in front of them in order to punish him for them. The answer is no. My students, Sdurin Limachal. No, the word Sdurin over here means they're arranged in front of the Beis Din Shamayla in order to forgive them.
Limachal,
to be forgiven. Now, why do they need to be arranged in order to be forgiven? So the note of Yehuda in Slach on this parak explains that what it is we know from a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that when Hashem is counting up a person's Averis, he sets aside the first Avera and doesn't count it unless the person anyway had more Averis than Mitzvah, and then he adds it back. So Sdurin, Hashem, so to speak, arranges them in order to take away the first one, and therefore it's a sign that his Averis are now being put on the scale and are going to be forgiven. Tani Tana Kameder Rav Sheshes, Haroya Nochash Bachaloyim, a Tana taught a braita in front of Rav Sheshes, that if a person sees a snake in a dream, Parnasasim is umenesloy, then it shows it's a simen, Menashemayim, that his Parnasa is going to come easily for him. Because a snake is like that. A snake eats dirt. What's the lashon over there about the snake that Hashem says, offer teichol kol yemei chayecha, you're going to eat dust your entire life. So a snake has his parnasa wherever he goes. There's always dust available. So therefore, it's a simon that the person is going to have parnasa available to him. Noshchoy, and then if the snake in the dream bites him, nichvaloi, then it means his parnasa is doubled, because now he has an even closer relationship with the snake. On the other hand, Horgoy, but if in the dream he kills the snake of the Parnassus, then that means he lost his Parnassus. Because now, he lost the snake, which represents Parnassus.
Animals.
But different kinds of snakes eat different things. And the Gemara also mentions elsewhere that one meaning of it is whatever a snake tastes, whatever a snake eats, tastes like dust here. Whatever. The point is a snake always finds food everywhere. Tony, the Omelette of Sheshes, that of Sheshes says, don't say that. On the contrary, if in the dream the person kills the snake, so like he overpowered it, then it shows all the more so that Karnasa is even more double. However, the Gemara says, Veloizen, that's not actually correct. Rav Sheshes, so Dechazia, Chilvi Bechivya Bechelmet Kaplei, Rav Sheshes had seen a snake in his dream and killed it, so he wanted, as we said before, so he didn't want that the guy is going to be giving a negative interpretation that he's going to lose his Parnassah. So therefore he wanted to give it a positive spin that it means that his Parnassah is going to be increased. But really, really, that's the general meaning of it is that he lost his Parnassah. Yes, I mean, he knew what snakes are, so I guess he could. And not necessarily was born blind. Anyway, he may become blind later in life. Okay. Tony Tana Kamez Rabbi Yechanan. A Tana taught in front of Rabbi Yechanan, a Braisa, Kol Minei Mashkin Yochem Machaloyim, when a person sees in a dream any kind of drinks, then they're good Yochem Machaloyim, then it's good if he sees them in a dream, Chutz Minei Yayin, with the exception of wine, Yesh Sheisei Over Tovloy, Yesh Sheisei Over Daloy. In a dream, if a person sees that he's drinking wine, sometimes it can be a good thing, sometimes it can be a bad thing. Yes, they say over Tovlo, you can have a person who drinks wine in a dream and it shows the good simon for him. Because the pasuk says wine gladdens the heart of a person. But yes, they say over Dalo, then you have a person who drinks wine in a dream and it's a bad simon for him. As the pasuk says, give strong drink to the one who's about to be lost. And wine to those who are bitter of spirit. So we see that wine can be a good thing or not. Amalei Rav Yechanan Latana, said Rav Yechanan, tells the Tana, Tony, now what you should teach in your Braisa, Tamid Chacham La'olam Tovla. If the person is not a Tamid Chacham, then you're right. It can be ambiguous. It can go either way. But if it's a Tamid Chacham, it's always good for him. Shenema, L'chu Lachmu B'lachmi, as the Pasuk says, the Torah personified says, come eat from my bread, Ushtu B'yayin L'safi, and drink from the wine that I have poured. So we see that wine represents Torah, and therefore for a Tamid Chacham, it's a good thing. Amar Rav Yechanan says, Hishkin v'nof apostat v'soich piv, if a person wakes up in the morning and a apostat right away comes into his mouth, hareiz nevuah ktana, then it's a mini nevuah. Now, we already had that before on Nunhei Yom Bey, and so the Mephoshim asked, why is it repeating here again? So one, an idea that a couple of the Mephoshim, the Tzlach and some others say, is before we were talking about in connection with when a person had a dream, and then he wakes up in the morning and he says a apostat. So then we say the apostat tells us something about the meaning of the dream. Here we're talking about there wasn't even a dream, or at least not a dream that he remembers. But he just wakes up and says a apostat, then already that in and of itself is in the work time. Okay. There are three kings that if a person sees them in a dream, they have different meanings. Haroya David b'chalayim, if a person sees David HaMelech in a dream, Yitzapel HaChsidus, then he can look forward to that he's going to be able to achieve Chassidus. Because David was a Chassid, Shlomo Nafshi, he Chassid on it, he says. Shlomo, if he sees Shlomo, he's a Chassid. We learned in the first parashah already. We talked about that most kings would sleep in, he would wake up, he would stay up almost the whole night learning Torah, he would be involved in deciding Shilas on Nida, and Yerlegis, and whatever, even though his hands are getting all dirty, so yeah. Shlomo, if he sees Shlomo Melech in a dream, it's Apple of Chokhmah, he can look forward to that he's going to achieve Chokhmah. Like Shlomo, was the famous Shlomo, Chokhmah Mikolodim. Achav, but on the other hand, if he sees Achav in a dream, Yidak Menachur Onos, then he should worry about that he's going to be punished. The Tzlach explains, why Dafka Achav? There were other kings that were to show him, because Achav, we find, was punished in this world and the next world. He was killed in battle, and he's listed in Sanhedrin as one of the kings who lost their place in Yom Haba. So therefore, it's like a double punishment. Gimel Nevi'im Heim. Next, there are three Nevi'im. There are three Sfarim of Nevi'im, if a person sees them in a dream. Haroya Sefer Melachim, Yitzapel Agdola. If he sees the book of Melachim in his dream, then he can look forward to greatness, like the kings. Yechezkel Yitzapel HaChachmah. If he sees the Sefer Yechezkel, then he can look forward to Chachmah, because in particular, in Yechezkel, you have the Ma'aser Merkava, which it takes a great Chacham to understand. Yeshaya Yitzapel HaChachmah. If he sees Sefer Yeshaya, most of Sefer Yeshaya is Nebuah of comfort for the Jewish people. Therefore, Yitzapel HaChachmah, and he can look forward to comfort from Hashem. Yirmiyah, but if he sees Sefer Yirmiyah, where most of Sefer Yirmiyah is negative Nebuah is a punishment, Yidak Menachuranus, then he should have to worry about that he's going to be punished. Now, we started by saying three, but then we mentioned four. So Hagoyes HaGro takes out Yeshaya. Another different explanation is that what the Gemara meant is if a person sees Sefer Malachim, it's like not in that category. In general, Sefer Malachim is a person can look forward to Gula because Malachim are great people. Then within the Sfarim of Nevi'im, you have Yechezkel, Yeshaya, you have Yechezkel versus Yeshaya versus Yirmiyah.
Or you have to say L3 after that, well.
Because the Gemara often does that. This way we should remember it better. And this way we don't, if we accidentally leave out one, we can tell what's left out. Next, there are three large svarim of ksuvim, that if a person sees them in a dream, has meaning. If he sees a sefer tilim in a dream, he can look forward to achieving chassidus, again, because tilim was written by David HaMelech, the great chassid. Mishle Yitzapel HaChachma, if he sees sefer Mishle, which was written by Shlomo HaMelech, and which includes Shlomo's Chachma, Yitzapel HaChachma, then he can look forward to Chachma. Eov, and if he sees sefer Eov, which is about all the troubles that happened to Eov and all the debates about it with his friends, Yidak Menachoronis, and he should worry about that there's any punishment coming on him. Shlosha Ksuvim Ptanim Heim, there are three shorter Sfarim of Ksuvim that have meaning if a person sees him in a dream. Haroya Shirashirim Bachaloyim Yitzapel HaChachma, if he sees Shirashirim in a dream, where the whole Shir HaShirim is, it represents, it talks about the love of between Hashem and the Jewish people, and about Yiras Shemayim, so therefore it's a sign, Yidak, it means Yitzapa L'Chsidus, he can look forward to that he's going to achieve Chsidus, because Shir HaShirim is all about that, about the closeness of a Yid and of a Yid to Hashem. Kehelos Yitzapa L'Chachma, if you see Sefer Kehelos in a dream, he can look forward to Chachma, because again, Kehelos represents, is one of the Sfarim of the Chachma of Shlomo HaMelech. Kinos, and if he sees Sefer Eicha in a dream, Yidag Minach Peronis, and of course, Eicha is all about the korban and the golos and the suffering and all, so then he shouldn't worry about Peronis. Then one that's not in that category, but stands by itself, Haroya Megillas Esther, if a person sees Megillas Esther in a dream, Nes Nasala, then it shows a Nes is going to happen to him, because that's the theme of Megillas Esther, is a Nes that happens to the Jewish people.
When we say Haroya, what does it mean exactly?
He sees the actual Sefer in a dream. But that just means he sees the Sefer as a whole, I guess, I don't know. Shloisha Chachamim. There are also three Chachamim where if a person sees them in a dream, they mean something. Haroya Rebbe B'chavayim, if he sees Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, in a dream, Yitzapel HaChachma, they can look forward to Chachma, because Rebbe was a tremendous Chacham more than any of the other Chachamim in his generation. That's why he was the one who wrote the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Yitzapel HaAshira. So if he sees Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who, as we learned before, was famously rich, then he can look forward to that he's going to be rich. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, but if he sees Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha in a dream, who was one of the Asar Arugim, he was one of the Asar Arugim Malchus, and he's the one, we say in Ela Ezkira, that he's the one who had they stripped off his skin, so then Yidag Mina Puranus, then he should have to worry about Puranus, like happened to Rabbi Shmuel. He was one of the Asar Arugim Malchus. He was a Kohen, but they stripped off the skin. We're not saying the Asar Arugim Malchus did anything wrong. We know from Ela Ezkira that they were kapara for Yosef's brothers selling him. They represented the 10 brothers who sold Yosef. But still, the fact of the matter is, he had a very horrible death, and therefore, if a person sees him in a dream, then it's a simon. Then you should worry about Purim. Next, Shloisha Talmidei Chachamim. Then there are three Talmidei Chachamim. Now, nowadays we use the word Talmid Chacham to mean anybody who knows Torah. But the proper meaning is Chachamim means people who actually had smicha, and Talmidei Chachamim means Talmidim of people who had smicha, but they themselves did not get smicha. So they didn't live long enough to, they lived outside of Israel or whatever. Right, with a real smicha, we're talking about the kind of Ishmael from Moshe, anyway. Haroya ben Azai b'chaloyim yitzapel achsidus. So if he's ben Azai in a dream, then he can look forward to chsidus, because ben Azai was the famous you might want to put it on mute, actually. We know, for example, that Ben Azai was the famous one that he got married, but he couldn't tolerate being married because nafshi choshka b'torah, he desired Torah so much. And we know that when he died, he was one of the Abba Nichnas of the Paradis. He's one of the four great Chachamim who went into the Paradis, and he passed away after that. So then the Gemara says on him, Yoka Be'ini Hashem Amav Salah Chassidah. So we see he's called a Chassid. So the person sees him in a dream, he can look forward to Chassid. Ben Zoma Yitzakul HaChachma. If he sees Ben Zoma in a dream, then he can look forward to Chachma, because Ben Zoma was a famous Chacham. He was known to be very, very smart. We're actually going to talk about him in tomorrow's Gemara, Beth Hashem. Then, on the other hand, Acher, if he sees Acher in a dream, Yidak Minah Puranus, then he should worry about Puranus, because we know what happened with Acher. Next, Kol Minei Chayis Yopas L'Chaloyim, if a person sees any kind of wild animals in a dream, Yofet v'chalayim, that is good for a dream. Chutz min apil v'akoyf v'akipoy. Except for an elephant. Hold on. The Gemara is going to ask that. Except for an elephant or a monkey or a kipoy. Rashi translates kipoy by a Rashi explains all these three animals look weird and therefore like they're a simon, like something unusual, not necessarily good is going to happen to him. Kipoy, Rashi describes, is a marten. It's a creature that looks similar to a monkey, but it has a very long tail. It's actually translated by the word marchino. In English, it's called a martin. It's a creature somewhat similar to a weasel. So the question is, we said before that if a person sees an elephant in a dream, then it shows Hashem is going to do something wondrous for him. And again, the answer is like Hashem, not a contradiction, because as we said before, it depends whether the creature is wearing a saddle, or Rashi says another explanation over here, it's wearing a bridle that you can control it with.
The
elephant or the monkey or whatever. And but if it's not, then it's not a good symbol.
Why do we have to repeat it?
Because before the Gemara mentioned specifically about elephants, he was mentioning in general about animals, with the exception of these.
Any
wild animal in a dream is good, whether it's wearing a saddle or not. These three only if they're wearing saddles. But then it shows, like so to speak, the saddle, the bridle shows, like so to speak, under human control. They're not like completely out. They're not like, completely off the wall. The point is, Rashi is saying that these animals look unusual, and that's why they're not such a simon of good. But if you see them with a saddle on, then just the opposite. It means the unusualness is in a good way. I'm a little bit curious what the Gemara would say if a person saw a platypus or a kangaroo or something in a dream. But I don't know. They didn't have them in those times, so yeah. Okay. If a person sees any kind of metal in a dream, then it's a good sign. Except for a mar, which is a shovel or a spade, pestle, which is something like a chisel, the cowdrum, or an axe, or another kind of shovel or something, because these things are destructive. They're used for digging up and then breaking and whatever. Now that only applies if you saw them actually on their handles. But if you just saw the metal blade of a shovel without the handle, then it's not a bad thing. Next, all kinds of fruit, if a person sees them in a dream, is a good thing. Except for unripe figs, which are not good. Any kind of vegetables are good if a person sees them in a dream. Except for turnip bulbs. So what does it mean? Turnip bulbs are no good. Rav said that I didn't become rich until in a dream I saw turnip bulbs, and then I became rich after that. The answer is because of a kanayim. So the answer is he saw them when they were growing, attached to the ground. That's a good simon. But we're saying that if a person sees them detached from the ground, then they're not a good simon. Like we had before in the story of Behedia and Rava, where he saw two turnips in a dream, and Behedia told him it means you're going to be hit twice with clubs. Because the head of the club looks like a turnip. Okay. Next, all kinds of colors or colored garments or whatever, if a person sees them in a dream, is a good thing. Except for tcheles. Why not tcheles? Rashi says because tcheles has a greenish color. And greenish is like the color. Yeah, it's greenish, greenish, bluish color, but it's similar to green. There's a Tosafot actually elsewhere, and even Nachas, I think, was something that mentioned. There's a Yerushalmi, I think, that says that chelas is similar in color to grass. So we see it has a certain greenish tinge to it. So the point is, that she says, a sick person's face is green. Okay, you thought, but chelas is a bluish color that has a certain green component to it.
Bluish with
a green. With a green, whatever. The point is, it's associated with green, and therefore a person who has a green face is sick. Rabbi Yaakov Emden gives a different reason. The word chelas is related to the word tachlis, which means the end. So it means, yeah. next. All kinds of birds or flying creatures, if a person sees them in a dream, are good. Except for kalia and kipoifa, which are various kinds of owls, and kuparoi, which means a bat. So those three, again, they look unusual compared to other birds. Their eyes face in front. Bats are not even birds. They're mammals, etc. So therefore, it shows something unusual. That's kalia, kipoifa, are two different kinds of owls. The kuparoi is a bat. Okay. So now we're done. Now we're done mostly with the matter of dreams. Actually, we're going to get back to it soon. But now the Gemara is going to digress to talk about some other lists of things. Haguf, me'en, meshivin, amachivin. The five key words from the next five things that the Gemara is going to tell us. Gimel nechnosem haguf, ein haguf, nana mehen. There are three things that enter the body, but the body doesn't actually enjoy them, doesn't actually get any benefit out of them. Good gedonios, which are cherries, the kafnios, and a type of very low-quality dates, or pagei tmara, and unripe dates. Those things, they may enter the body, but the body doesn't get any benefit out of them. Shlosha ein nechnosem haguf. On the other hand, there are three things that don't enter the body, v'haguf nana mehen, but the body still enjoys them. Eilu heim, they are rechitza v'sicha v'tashmish, bathing, anointing, and having relations. And by the way, Mephoshim say that the point of that is because they don't go into the body is why, even though the person enjoys them very much, you don't make a bracha on them. We learned earlier in the sixth parak that a person is supposed to make a bracha when they enjoy something in Hashem's world, but that only applies to something that actually goes into the body, or at least something like we mentioned about spices, where at least the neshama benefits from it, but here, where it just stays on the outside of the body, you don't make brachas for the chachamim did not make brachas that we say for bathing or anointing or tashmish. That's fine. That's because that's a special bracha for the enjoyment, for the mental enjoyment the person has of it, but they didn't make a birch anen for it. Okay. There are three things that are a semblance of olam haba. Elohen, Shabbos, Shemesh, v'tashmish. The Shabbos, when the sun is shining, and tashmish. So the question is tashmish demai. What kind of tashmish do we mean? Elohim tashmish amitah. Do we mean narrow relations? That's not when we say me'ein olam haba, it means that it has no downside to it, but there is a downside to tashmish. It weakens the body. El tashmish nekovim. No, rather what we mean is the fact that a person is able to go to the bathroom. That's something that's me'ein olam haba. We make a bracha afterwards, thanking Hashem that he keeps us in good shape, that he keeps our bodies in good shape. Because the pashtus, the idea is, like we said on Amud Aleph, like all the filth has now gone out of him. In Peshach, okay, but that means, in other words, that now it's like Me'ein Olam Haba, like there's no downside to it, so to speak. Like there's only good in it. Peshach Agadah talks about an idea like you have three different things that are needed for Olam Haba. You have things in the world that you need to stay away from. That's the representation of Tashmish over here. You have things that block Elikos, and you need to, as it says in Tanya in these days, that you need to break them, you need to get them out of the way. So that represents like Shemesh, like you have, as long as the blinds are closed, you don't have the benefit of the Shemesh. You have to open them up to get the Shemesh. And then you have things that the good things in the world that you enjoy, which represent the good things in the world that themselves are Kedusha, and you work with them. That's what Shabbos represents over here. Okay. Next, shlosha meshivin daifish aladim. There are three things that restore a person's mind. Meaning, in other words, Marsha says, let's say he was in trouble or something, but he has these three things will help restore his equilibrium, his good mood. Elohen kol umara vereya. A nice sound, like the sound of somebody singing, or Rashi says, for example, a woman's beautiful voice, for example, obviously if it's his wife or his daughter or whatever, so there's no problem with Koelisha, or Mare, seeing something beautiful, for Reach, or smelling something nice. These things are good for a person. Even if he was in a bad way, then those three things help restore. Like, for example, he was in a bad mood, or he was in trouble, or whatever, so those three things. Shlosha machivin daita shalom. Then there are three things that widen a person's das, meaning they make a person more able to enjoy life. Elohim, dira na, a nice house, the isha na, a beautiful wife, the kalim noim, a nice clothing. Another one, chamisha.
Why is it telling us something sort of subjective?
The Gemara is telling us that these things are less subjective. They have a good effect on everybody. Some people maybe more than others, but everybody is affected. Everybody is affected well by one or another of these things. Chamisha shish v'shisha v'asara simen. Now we're going to have a list of five things, a list of six things, and a list of 10 things. Chamisha echad mishishim. There are five things in the world that each one of them is 1/60th of the ultimate of it. Elohim, Eish, Dvash, V'Shabbos, V'Sheina, V'Chaloyim. Fire, honey, Shabbos, sleep, and a dream. So like this, What does it mean, 1/60th? Samar Shah says, sometimes the Gemara uses the word 60 as an indefinitely large number, so that could be what it means over here. But also, he says, shishim, we know there's a concept of something bottle the shishim. So like 60 is still the percentage, 1/60th is still the percentage, it's still the fraction where something is detectable. So like these, you can just barely detect in them a semblance of the real thing. So esh echon mishishim legehenim, fire is 1/60th of gehenim. Dvash echon mishishim lemon, honey is one, the enjoyment, the sweetness of honey is 1/60th as good as the mon was. Shabbat echon mishishim olam haba, Shabbat is a semblance, is 1/60th of olam haba. Shena echon mishishim lemitza, sleep is 1/60th of death. And chaloyim echon mishishim lenevuah, and a dream is 1/60th of nevuah. Next, shishadvarim simin yachal ha'chayla, there are six things where if a sick person has any of them, then it's a good sign for him. Elohim, they are as follows, itush, sneezing, zeya, sweating, shilshul, diarrhea, keri, seminal emission, v'shena, or sleep, v'chaloyim, or dream. And we see each one of them from Sukkim. Itush, dichtiv, they're all good for a sick person. Yeah, any of these things happen to a sick person, then shows he's on the verge of recovery. Yeah. Itush, sneezing, is good for him. Dichtiv, aki shoyt of tohel ur. The pasuk says, the context of the pasuk is talking about the love yasan, but his sneezing shines light. So we see that when, in other words, it's a remez for the idea that when a person sneezes, then it brings back light and life to him.
Does that mean he sneezes in the
chayla? Yeah, it means he's sick, and then he sneezes while he's sick, and he sneezes, and it means he's on the road to recovery. Zeya, if he sweats, dichtiv, bezeya tafecha, tzarech alechem. Hashem tells Adam, Rishon after the chetei tadas, with the sweat of your brow, you'll eat bread. So in context, that's a curse, but also the Gemara is darshaning it as, it means that when the person sweats, he's going to be able in the future to eat bread. He's going to recover from his illness and be able to eat again. Shilshul, diarrhea, dichtiv, miar soya leipaseach. The pasuk reported before, the soya is quick to open up and to go out. V'lo yomos vashachas. And the pasuk continues, he won't die and go down to the grave. So we see that when he's able to go to the bathroom easily, then it's a good sign for him. Keri.
Shilshul
means mihau soya, means that it opens up quickly. So therefore, it's a good sign for him. Keri, if he has a seminal emission, there's a pasuk. In context, the pasuk is talking about the Jewish people's experiences in Galus, but we also darshan that if he sees seed, he will live long. So we see if he sees seed, in other words, if he has an emission of Zera, then he'll live long. Shena, sleep.
Yep, actually,
the pasuk means that it comes out of his body.
No, coming out of the body.
Yeah, okay, whatever. It means it's seen on his clothing. No. It's seen on his, you can see it on his calling. Shema, dichtiv yashanti oz yonuachli, you have a pasuk in Eov where he says, I slept and then I was comfortable. So we see, therefore, that it's a remez to the idea of a sick person sleeps and that brings him comfort. And chaloyim, in a dream, dichtiv v'sachlimeni v'hachayeni, as we find in the Tfila of Chizkiyahu, where he says, you gave me a dream and you revived me. Simple meaning of v'sachlimeni over there, you made me well, but the Gemara is darshaning v'loshen chaloyim. Okay. He said this after he recovered. Okay. Next, there are six things that heal. If a person eats them, they heal a sick person from a sickness. This we learned before on Daf Mem, or for also before, and it's an effective healing. These six things are effective things to heal him. Elohim, they're as follows: kruv, cabbage, or trodin, and beets, the sisin yevashin, dry sisin, or Rashi apparently has a different gear over here, may sisin, which is water in which sisin was cooked. Sisin is an herb related to mint. It's in the family of mint. The keva, or the stomach of an animal, the heres, or the womb of an animal, the esteres hakaved, or the diaphragm of an animal. The yesh em machdogim kanim, some say there's a seventh one on the list, also small fish, like sardines or whatever, the loyoid, and they say not only that, alashadogim kanim machunumavrin kogopishalodam, not only that, small fish help with making fruitful and making healthy a person's entire body. Okay.
So they include anchovies, sardines.
So pashas mean that, anchovies, sardines, other such small fish. Okay. On the other hand, there are 10 things that if a sick person eats them, it'll cause him to relapse, that his sickness will come back. And then his sickness will be even worse than the first time around. And they are as follows. If a sick person eats beef, or fat meat, butter soli, or roasted meat, the Sarti pot. Well, you don't only roast the Korban Pesach, you can roast meat during other times.
No,
of the year.
I'm saying, but Korban Pesach is meat
that's roasted.
It's roasted, so
okay.
It's not good for your health.
So, no, we're saying if a person was sick, if a person was healthy, then let him eat it, because they're behave. Besides, Shema Mitzvah, Lo Yedah Dabar Rav. We're not talking about he's eating it for a mitzvah, we're talking about he's eating it just down, but they're like this. In other words, a sick person should be careful about it. Next, the Sarti Parim, meat of birds, or Beit Tzloya, a roasted egg, the Tiglachas, shaving, is bad for a person who's recovering from an illness, the Shachalayim, and Kress, which is a type of herb, it has a very peppery taste to it, the Cholav, milk, the Hagvina, and cheese, the Hamelchot, and bathing in a bathhouse. All those things, a person is just getting over an illness, then they're not good for him. The Yesh Emim Achat Gozim, some say also nuts. The Yesh Emim Achat Kishurim, some say also cucumbers. And in fact, Tonan Ve Rabbi Shmuel, a Braisa in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught, Loma Nikra Shmuel Kishurim, why are those vegetables called Kishurim? Mepnei Shem Koshim Laguf Kacharov, it's Kishurim, Loshim Kosher, there is hard for the body, there is bad for the body as swords.
That's only for the people who recover from an illness.
No, the Pashas, this one is talking about in general.
But the other ones
are only for a person. So the question is, any of you telling me vegetables, are you telling me cucumbers are so bad for you? But we have a positive when Rivka was pregnant and she didn't know what's going on and she goes to ask and Hashem tells her, Shnei Goyim Bevitnech, there are two nations in your womb, the Jewish people on Edom, and Altikri Goyim Elegeim. We Darshan don't read Goyim nations, but Geim, proud ones. The Amar of Yehuda Amarav, Elo Antoninus for Rebbe, specifically it's referred to Antoninus, who was descended from Esav, and Rebbe, who was descended from Yaakov, who were very, they were very rich and very powerful. So like Posek, Mishochonim, like Snurin, like Hazeres, like Yeshurin, there never was missing from their table radishes or lettuce or cucumbers, Loibi Meisachama, Loibi Meisachchamim, not during the summer, not during the winter. Now, why would the point? The point is if they're having these vegetables on their table, it's cucumbers, it shows that it's good for you. And therefore, Dafka would make a point of having them on their table, even out of season, because like they would grow them in greenhouses or whatever. But the point is, we see that cucumbers are good for you. The answer is, like Kasha, Haber Ravrivi, Haber Zutri. The answer is, it depends whether we're talking about big ones or small ones. Big cucumbers are no good for you. Bad ones, small ones, like the Kirby's that they sell in the stores, like the Persian ones maybe, or the Kirby's or whatever, those are good for you. So the kind that Rebbe and Antoninus would have on their tables would be the small cucumbers. Next, Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, going back to the matter of dreams, Nes Babai, the Gemara is going to digress from it and get back there. So getting back one more thing to dreams, Nes Babai, so if a person sees in a dream a dead person in a house, Shalom Babai, then it represents that there's going to be Shalom in the house. The dead person over there represents Shalom, maybe because the person when he dies is in peace. Okay. Whatever it is, Alchal b'shos of a bias, if then he sees that this dead person eats and drinks in the house, simon yafal a bias, then it's a good simon for the house. Not a caleb in a bias, but if he sees in a dream that the mess takes things out of the house, simon ral a bias, then it's a bad simon for the house. Tirgum, or a papa, a son of a sandal, a papa says, that doesn't mean any kind of caleb. It means specifically if he carries out shoes or sandals. But if the mess carries out other things from the house in the dream, then it's not a bad simon.
Doesn't mean he's going to be poor?
I guess not. Called the shokel shakla mali. In general, the rule is anything that in a dream a dead person takes is good. Bami, the son of a sandalah, unless he's taking shoes or sandals, then that's bad sin. Called the yohiv shakla. Anything that a dead person gives to a person in a dream, mali is a good sign. Bami after a chadala, except for dust or mustard. If a mess in a dream gives those to a person, then it's a bad simon, but otherwise anything else that a mess gives a person in a dream is a good simon. Fine. So now we're finished with the matter of dreams. Now we're going to get back to the halacha that you said in our Mishnah, where we said that there's various brachas that a person has to say when he sees certain things. We'll start on it, and then we'll continue with it tomorrow, that's the same. The Mishnah said, "Mokrim shenachem menu avodas kibulim." If a person sees a place where avodah zara was removed from it, and he says a bracha, "Baruch she'akar avodah zara me'arteinu." So the Gemara says, "Tanan abanim." We learn in a brayta, "Haroya merkulis." If a person sees a merkulis, which is a statue of Mercury, or actually merkulis in those times, many times you find in the Gemara, means a pile of stone. They worship merkulis by throwing rocks at it. So therefore, you have a pile of rocks over there, which is a merkulis. the Omer. He says, Baruch Shanach and Erech HaPayim Ma'ovir Yitzonim. He says the bracha, blessed is Hashem, and he says, the Pashtus Hashem HaMalchus, who gives patience to people who are violating his will. So in other words, even though these goyim are violating what Hashem wants by worshiping Avodah Zarah, nevertheless Hashem is patient and he doesn't destroy them right on the spot.
So why is it nothing?
That Hashem gives Erech HaPayim, that he gives patience, in other words, that he acts with patience towards them. Yeah, that acts with patience towards them. Okay, but specifically Avodah Zarah, maybe you could say this about any Avodah you see a person doing, but I guess Avodah Zarah is more of a denial of Hashem than other Avodahs. Mind you, I mean, it doesn't necessarily, you know, Tosef asked the question, why Dafka Merkulis? Why wouldn't it apply to any Avodah Zarah? Okay, no, he was asking why not any Avodah in general, but Tosef asked the question, why not Avodah Zarah in general? So Tosfos actually gives the answer because you only make the bracha where it's a new place where an Avodah Zarah was just set up. If you have an Avodah Zarah was there for a long time, you don't say a bracha on it, which is why we generally don't say this bracha, because usually we're surrounded by Avodah Zarah all the time. But anyway, the point is a merkulis, because people are always throwing rocks at it and making the pile bigger and bigger, so it's like it's constantly getting built. On the other hand, Slach says maybe not necessarily. Maybe the reason why it mentions Merkulis is even though people worship it by throwing rocks at it, which you would think is a very degrading thing, nevertheless, it's still an Avodah Zarah, and he still makes the bracha that Hashem is patient with such people. Okay.
And Hashem doesn't destroy it.
And Hashem doesn't destroy it. Makom shenekrum in Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, if a person sees a place where Avodah Zarah was uprooted from it, meaning Avodah Zarah, may our sin. Blessed is Hashem who removed Avodah Zarah from our land. If it was outside Eretz Yisrael, by the way, you still say it, but you don't say may our sin. No, you say min hamakom hazeh. And you continue the bracha. Just as Avodah Zarah was uprooted from this place, came to Akum become a Kohenet Yisrael, so you should remove it from all places where Jews live. Actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions this bracha without the word Yisrael. So just kach came to Akum become a Kohenet. You should take it away from all places. And restore, and return the hearts of those who worship Avodah Zarah to worship you. Now, continues the Tanakhama. In Chutzlaret, you do not have to say that last part. Because most people there are goyim anyway, so what do we need to daven that their hearts are going to be turned to Hashem? So in Eretz Yisrael, you need to say that, but not in Chutzlaret. Rav Shimon Elazar says, no, after Chutzlaret, Tzorach Lemekein. No, in Chutzlaret, you also have to say that. Because in the future, in Mashiach's time, they're going to become Gerim, or they're going to try to become Gerim, or whatever. Shenema, the prophet says, Od Ebechalam Safa Brura. Then at that time, I'm going to turn that all the nations are going to have a clear way of speaking, and they're all going to serve Hashem together. So therefore, it is appropriate to say, V'hoshav Leivav Deim Lavdecha, even when you're talking in Chutzlaret. And that's the halacha, you do in fact say that. In Chutzlaret. When you see a place where there was Avodah Zarah, then you say this bracha, and you say the thing. Pashtus, yes, but some of these brachos actually, it says in Shulchan Aruch, not necessarily. If you have a topic, whether you should say them in particular, then you would say them without Shem HaMalchus. Many of these things, Tosfos already mentions, we see Avodah Zarah all the time. Many of these brachos, you only say if you haven't seen in 30 days, so therefore we don't necessarily say these brachos.
Why Hashem is going to change the hearts of the goyim?
Because even they need to recognize Hashem. They need to. That's the limoyt of Mashiach. There's not going to be. There's not going to be. He has to make it that there's no. The point is, in other words, that there's not going to be as ruach ha-toma avim in aris. There's going to be no spirit of toma in the world.
Yeah,
expressed that way. That, in other words, they're all going to change something. Their heart. It says sofa brura. They're all going to have a clear speech. That they're all going to praise Hashem with clear speech. Epoch, I will turn, El Amin, stop a brother, that they're all going to have a clear speech.
I will turn means I will transform.
Right now they all speak in confused ways. They have no idea what El Akus is. In that time, they'll have some idea of it. Dorash Rav Hanunah, Haroya Bavel Harashah, if a person sees wicked Bavel, he sees the actual city of Bavel, which destroyed the first place in English. Torech Lebarech Chomesh Brachas, when he sees that place, nowadays it's in Iraq, he has to make five brachas. Like nowadays, he'd have to make another bracha. I'm going, we're getting out of there safely, but whatever. Okay. Raw Babel. So now like this. Raw Babel. First of all, when he sees the actual city of Babel, he makes a bracha. Baruch Shehechu Babel HaRashah. Blessed is Hashem who destroyed wicked Babel. By the way, Marsha points out, what about when you see Rome? The thing is, Rome has not been destroyed. I mean, you have. It went through a lot in the last couple of thousand years, but it still exists as a settled city. He says when Mashiach comes and Rome is taka destroyed, then yes, we will make a bracha on it. The same thing. Baruch Shehachem Roy Miharashah. Raw basis of the Muhammad, when you see that, when you see the palace of the Muhammad in Babel, the ruins of the palace, I'm a Baruch Shehachem basis on the Muhammad in Russia. Then you say, bracha, blessed is Hashem who destroyed his palace. If you see the lion's pit that Daniel was thrown into over there, or the fiery furnace that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into, you make a bracha, you make the bracha that Hashem made miracles for our fathers, or Agoyt Agros, that's actually supposed to be the tzaddikim, that Hashem made miracles for the tzaddikim in this place. Now, normally, by the way, you don't say a bracha for a nest that happened to individuals. But here they were individuals who kind of represented the whole Jewish people, and it made a massive, each of these stories made a massive Kiddush Hashem all over the world, so therefore you have to say a bracha for them.
You don't say bracha,
so... Usually you don't say a bracha for... No, so we said before, at the beginning of the Kiddush, that an individual who had a nest happen to him, he and his descendants say a bracha when they come to that place. But we're not necessarily descendants of the Niyol, Hanani, Mishael, Bazalia, but we say the bracha because they were tzaddikim, who represented the whole Jewish people, and it made a huge Kiddush Hashem in the world. Okay, so far we have three brachas. Again, one for seeing Babel, one for seeing the Hanukkah palace, the ruins of it, one for seeing the lion's pit or the Kibshon Eish. Number four, Ra Merkulis. You see the Merkulis, a pile of stones, because they worship Merkulis in that area. Oymer Baruch Shanos and Erech Apayim over the stone. So like we said before, he makes the bracha that Hashem is patient with those who violate his will. Ra Makam Shanotan Menu Offer. And the fifth one, you see a place in Babel from which they take dust. So what does that mean? We'll explain in a second. You say a bracha, blessed is Hashem, who says, and what he says is done, and he makes a decree, and it's fulfilled. Now, what is going on over here? Rashi gives two explanations. One explanation is there's a certain place in Babel that if you bring an animal there, or a pack animal or whatever, like a donkey or a horse, it won't be able to leave there unless you take some of the dust of that place and put it on the animal. Then they'll be able to leave. So that's a siman for the total destruction of Babel. That the pasuk says that one of the klalos that the Navi says on Babel is as Gemara is going to quote in a second, that Hashem says, I'm going to sweep it with the broom of destruction. So therefore, it's like a siman of the total destruction of the place, that even the dirt of it can't even stay there, and it has to be taken to another place by animals. Then Rashi brings another explanation that this is a place where they take dust, they take dirt from it to be able to make mortar or bricks or whatever. But still, it's like an unsettled area. You can't plant there. The dirt of it is only suitable for making bricks or more mortar or whatever. So that's the Mesha Bracha that Hashem said that the bubble is going to be destroyed, and indeed it was so completely destroyed that you can't even use the dirt of it for anything. This is the city of Babel. There's a city of Babel and there's a country of Babel, just like there's a city of New York and a state of New York. This is talking about the city of Babel.
The academies were in the city of Babel, right?
No, the academies are not. They're the yeshivas. We're in Surah and Pobedissa and Nahudah, and so we're not in the city of Babel, no. Okay.
You never found them.
They found the ruins of Babel. Okay. Rabba, in fact, when he would see donkeys that are carrying dirt like this, where they were carrying dirt from Babel, because from the city of Babel, because again, they couldn't leave without it, because they were taking it to make bricks out of it. Taurus lahu yadar gabayu, he would pat them on the back with his hand. The Omar, and he would say, Ruhutu, Sadiki lemebed ru'usa demaraichu. Sadikim, run to do the will of Hashem, because like this, you're accomplishing what Hashem wanted, that Babel is going to be completely destroyed like that. If he would visit the ruins of Babel, have a shakal after the sudra, he would take some of the dust over there in his sudra, in his turban, the shadi labara, and throw it away afterwards. All of this is to fulfill what the pasuk says, Hashem says, through the Nabi Yeshaya, I will sweep it with the broom of destruction. Like it's going to be completely, like even the dirt is going to be swept away. Amar Avashi, so Avashi says, now we said before that you say five brachot, Rav Hamnuna said, so Avashi says, I'm not holding Rav Hamnuna l'shmili. I actually did not hear the statement of Rav Hamnuna. Elam, that's true, but it's in the kulu, but on my own, I realized that you have to make these five brachot. Okay, since we mentioned the destruction of Babel, we'll say one more thing about it. Amar Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Niskal la Babel, Niskal la Shechinah. We see a contrast. When Hashem said that Babel is going to be cursed, then also its neighbors, the nearby areas, are also cursed with it, like Oyle Rosh or Oyle Shchene. On the other hand, Skal Shomron is Baruch Shchene. On the other hand, Shomron, the capital of the Aseret HaShvatim, was cursed, but the curse for it ends up being a bracha for its neighbor, because it's for its Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it can't be a total curse. Neskal Babel, Neskal Shchene, the Siv, the Samtiel, the Murash Kippur, the Agmimayim, in that same Nevuah of Yeshaya, the one with the Tekeh, the Masate Hashmet, he says over there that I'm going to make Babel, the Murash Kippur. It's going to be a place that is going to be inherited by Kippod, which Rashi says means like a dangerous kind of animal, dangerous wild animals are going to be hanging out over there. The Agne Mayim and pools of water, so it's going to be like very dangerous that's for Babel. So like it's going to be a place where there are dangerous animals and pools of water, which means there's going to be mosquitoes, malaria, and whatnot. So therefore, it's not only Babel got cursed, but all the areas around it suffer from it also. On the other hand, Niskal Shomron is Baruch Shchena. On the other hand, Shomron was cursed, but the curse of it is a bracha for its surroundings. Dichtiv, Samti Shomron, Le'iyasod, and Machari Karim. The passage says that in Micha, I will make Shomron of an empty field, a place where vineyards will be planted. So we see, in other words, that it still remains. Shomron, meaning that the capital of the Aseret HaShvatim.
Which is where?
It's in Eretz Yisrael. It's in nowadays what they call the West Bank. Unfortunately, it's a heavily Arab area. I actually wanted to go there on my last trip to Eretz Yisrael, but you need to arrange it in advance and go on an armored bus or whatever. So whatever. But the point is, it's still a very fertile area. And there are fields and vineyards over there. So the point is, even though it was cursed, that's not going to be a city anymore, but it didn't become a total wasteland like Babel. It remained a very fertile area, and therefore, like the neighbors around it, have a bracha. That's the point. In other words, because it's in Eretz Yisrael, even the curse on it couldn't be a total curse. There still has to be some kind of bracha.
Until Mashiach comes.
Until Mashiach comes, yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know if the Shomron is going to be rebuilt when Mashiach comes. The difference is that then those fields and vineyards will be tended by Jews instead of by the Arabs that are there now. Okay. Yeah, but then the bracha exists now, but unfortunately right now the Arabs have it rather than the Jews.
No,
oh, well, okay, whatever. Okay, fine. Okay, we continue tomorrow, that's the same.
Thank you very much. Good luck. Thank you.
Welcome.